Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. As Cambridge Ringe and Latin High School students prepare to return to the classroom next week, 9th and 10th grade students will head to Honors English and History classes. That's because Honors classes are now the only option in these subjects for 9th and 10th graders, an approach that's been implemented over the last 2 years. Here with us now to discuss this shift is the principal of Cambridge Ringe and Latin School, Damon Smith. Damon, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Jennifer Hoag, who teaches English at Cambridge Ringe and Latin. Welcome, Jennifer.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So parents and students, we'd like to hear from you on this. Whether you live in Cambridge or elsewhere, what do you make of the idea of putting everyone in Honors? Getting rid of leveled classes, is that something you'd like to see your district try? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So Damon, I'd like to start with you here. This is a change I know you've said you've made to address inequities under the old system. Can you tell us a bit about why you felt it was necessary to do this?
It was necessary for us to do this because over time we saw that our school, which has wonderful opportunities and resources for students to explore lots of different passions, was really being segmented or segregated into certain groups of students in our population. And we looked and examined why that was happening. And we found that in ninth grade, which is the very beginning of the high school experience, we were asking students to choose before they even took a class in high school between an honors level course or a college prep level course. And although there was still...
And honors is higher, college prep level is one level below that. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. The standard level. College prep was our standard level course offering. And honors was the more advanced level offering. And students... could theoretically move between those two levels. But what we found out was once students made a choice to be in either a college prep level or an honors level, that the movement vertically really didn't happen. And so we thought as a school community that is trying to increase equity and results for all of our students, why are we making students choose right from the very beginning this pathway without even having had any experience in our high school classes?
So this is ninth and 10th grade. Do they Correct. Then choose for themselves in the remaining 2 years of high school?
In the 11th grade, there are more opportunities and more classes and electives for kids to take and choose from. So there's more flexibility for students to choose their own unique pathway at grades 11 and 12. Ninth and 10th grade, there are more prescriptive classes in terms of what students can access in their schedule.
Okay, so you're a couple years into this now. What's been the experience? What's the experience been like across the school?
I think you can certainly talk to Ms. Hoag a little bit more about that experience, but I think it's been a success. We have students from all backgrounds taking classes together who are interacting.
And that's different than before.
I think so. And we still have some distance to go. We are not perfectly aligned where we are meeting, where we are certainly, I think, where we want to be. We're getting better. And we're having students from all types of backgrounds interacting, being involved, taking rigorous classes, seeing themselves differently in terms of their academic potential and also their social potential, who they can connect with, who they can learn from, and who they can be. And that's really, really important for us.
So, Jennifer, why is this a good idea?
It's a good idea because the division of kids into two different groups was so arbitrary and in no way kind of reflected kids' potential. And when we eliminate that choice, people who maybe didn't see themselves as honor students, they challenge themselves in ways that they haven't before.
Have you been seeing that in the classroom?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you give an example that might come to mind?
Well, I've taught the leveled classes and I've taught the unleveled classes, and what I tend to see is that kids kind of rise to the challenge that is given them. And so even if our goal was to make classes that were more tailored to certain groups of kids, the way that they were experienced were as like, oh, these are for kids who've kind of got it and these are for kids who don't. And that just gives kids the wrong idea.
Yeah, that sounds really oppressive.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and then kids respond to that with their whole selves mm-hmm. and what they bring to the classroom and what they believe is possible and the effort that they put forth.
1-800-423-8255 if you'd like to join this conversation. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's take a couple calls. Jim from Derry, New Hampshire, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a school psychologist, and I just have concerns with this, that if students with significant learning disabilities, maybe slower processing speed, working memory, or language disorders, that the class would have to be so modified for them to be able to succeed that it would almost exclude them from the experience of the class. And this is something that sounds great and it feels good, but I think it can take a toll on students who need a different type of class.
Thanks for that, Jim. I'm going to give the principal a chance to answer you, but I want to grab one more call. Dawson from Spencer, go ahead.
Hi. I'd just like to kind of add to that, I guess. There is, I'm in my second year of college. I definitely felt like during high school, there's a certain amount of pressure to, like, not only do well in school, but also figure out, like, what you want to do afterwards, like, what kind of career and such. So I feel like, maybe a good investment would also be, like, resources towards that, like having, being able to see, like, what you want to do and, like, more life-based skills. Because I know, like, certain things that I learned in high school aren't really, like, applicable for me after.
Okay, thanks for that, Dawson. So I'm going to take those in reverse order because, Jennifer, you were just nodding while Dawson was speaking about the life skills and assistance in thinking about what comes next. Why were you nodding there?
Well, I just think that making the curriculum relevant for students is incredibly important. And I don't think – I'm an English teacher, so that's part of what happens in English class, but also there's such a wide range of classes that students can explore, particularly in 9th and 10th grade years. And a lot of those are technical arts kinds of classes and more hands-on kind of classes, arts and creativity. So that I think 9th grade should be and 10th grade should be chances to really explore this broad range of kind of skills and possibilities that are out there.
So, Damon, what about this question about, okay, students with an IEP, students with special learning needs, students across the learning and learning skill spectrum, how do you effectively incorporate them into a single honors approach for history and English?
Certainly, that's a great question. And I want to start by saying that I can certainly talk more about what we've done, but I want to give kudos to the teachers in our English and history departments who've worked so hard at professional development to meet the needs of the range of learners we have in classes, and particularly to the leaders of those two departments, Ms. Tanya Milner and Ms. Jennifer Hamilton, who helped us shape this vision. We actually started doing this work, you said 2 years ago. It actually was 3 to 4 years ago.
Implementation started 3 or 4 years ago?
Our first piece of implementation was getting professional development and training for our staff members.
I see.
And believing that we could do this work. As the college just said, there are a range of learners in our classes, and we needed to do more work to be able to specially design instruction and develop classes and an approach that would serve all learners.
So that raises a question that I have to believe some listeners might be thinking, which is, okay, so you had an honors curriculum for your English and history classes.
Yes.
Is it the same curriculum now? Are you teaching the same subjects at the same level of sophistication with the same level of challenge in the tests, et cetera? And I'm happy to ask either you or Jennifer
that question. And I can say, because I have taught 9th grade English for many, many years, I can say 100% yes, we are. Over the years, certain texts will change, but we continue to teach classics, and then we continue to teach things that are kind of fresh and new. And the curriculum is very much an honors curriculum, and it is the curriculum that I believe that all students deserve to have as 9th graders.
And how are the students reacting to it?
Students react in lots of different ways. We're talking about 14 and 15-year-olds.
I have and, a couple of those now.
but in general, it's in the classroom, most of my days feel very positive and really like there's forward motion happening, that learning is occurring and that we're a community and that we're making progress together.
It's what, also, if I could say, it's important to note that this endeavor was also started because of students' voices and concerns about the way in which our school was organized socially. And so who you go to class with becomes who you hang out with, becomes someone that you become friendly with and form relationships with. And our students, for the great diversity that we have in Cambridge, have spoken very plainly and clearly about that the school, even though it's very diverse, has had issues with folks being together from different backgrounds.
Being about segregation.
Correct.
Basically.
And so our students have said this is an issue that facilitates the segregation that happens and the socialization that happens. And this is a way for all of us to kind of improve not just the academic piece, but also the social piece. And I think that's terribly important.
It's a powerful point.
In this day and age. And most importantly, the adults were alongside the students in making that kind of declaration.
Okay, we got a lot of calls, so I want to get to a couple more. 1-800-423-8255 if you want to be one of those calls. Michael from Newton, welcome. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm an 18-year-old. I just graduated high school that did have tracking, but the middle school I went to did not. And what I found was either the kids who could be going at a faster pace were being slowed down, or the kids who needed to go at a slower pace were in an environment that was too academically rigorous for them. And so I actually found that not having tracking in middle school did not stand to benefit me academically in the future, and I wonder what you guys have to say about that.
All right. Well, let's let Jennifer answer that. Go ahead, Jennifer. Thanks, Michael.
Well, one of the things that we have in place is really a tremendous amount of support for students who either have specially identified needs or just maybe life circumstances that is making school difficult. And we have special educators working side by side with us. And we also have an additional support class for students who need more support. So we're very much trying to make sure that everybody can find a way to access a curriculum. But also, I think we've tried very hard to create assignments and experiences without a ceiling so that students can so that we're not putting limits on what students can do with the material.
Let's take another call. Josh from Plymouth, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just kind of a little bit echoing your last caller, but I find that, you know, playing to the lowest common denominator or even the average, you are limiting the exceptional students that could benefit from a more rigorous and fast-paced learning environment. And it kind of smacks me of every kid gets a ribbon, and it really takes the honors out of honors, which to me, honors is something that's earned through academic achievement. If you make honors for everybody, you know, you're helping the lower portion of learners at the expense of the highest portion of learners, and we are just not all the same. It's social engineering as far as I'm concerned, and I think it's a terrible idea.
Thanks for that call, Josh. Damon, what does the data say in response to Josh's comments?
The data says that all students can achieve at high levels if given challenging opportunities in classes to demonstrate their learning. And to the previous caller, I think moving students when they first come into high school without having taken any high school classes at all and saying this student is an honor student and this student is a college prep or a regular student is really the message that we don't want to be saying. All students have significant potential, and we want to maximize that potential. And so the idea of us limiting students and starting right away to say, well, you go here and you go here, it creates a dynamic that we don't want to foster. And I believe the data from our school data, from having this experience for the last 2 years, will showcase that more students are hitting high levels in academics and also having more opportunities.
So I want to push on that a little bit. Jennifer, I'll come to you. You know, the Globe quoted parent Michelle Nicholson in May, who said she has 4 children at CRLS, and 2 of her daughters said their English class was lackluster. They felt in classes that the teachers struggled to engage across the differences in uninterested students, and that is part of what the caller was getting to. Not that students have a chance to perform higher, but there may be some students who will be bored or unchallenged as a result. What do you say to that criticism?
Well, I would say that, you know, we all wish that all of our high school classes could avoid being lackluster. But I really want to push back against this idea that it's kind of more high-achieving kids who are at a loss here or who are losing something. It's actually by including a greater range of experience and abilities in the classroom, people are learning a lot more than they can when the people sitting around the table all have kind of the same background and the same perspective. We're getting a much richer conversation.
Because of the diversity of perspectives.
Exactly. So I don't think that our high-achieving students are missing out or being held back. I think their educational experience is being augmented.
Okay, let's take one more call. Maggie from Beverly, go ahead.
Hi, this is Maggie. I just also graduated from high school, and I was curious whether the integration of the honor system and the CP classes, because my system was the same, would affect the class size and the rate of teachers in the classroom.
Great. Thanks for those questions, Maggie. Damon, what's the answer there?
In our school, no, it hasn't. We've actually, again, going back to our 3- and 4-year implementation phase, budgetary-wise, really thought about what kind of classroom size makes optimum for us to be able to support the number of students in the classroom, the range of student learning in the classroom. And so we've actually lowered our class size ratio. We're about 20 students for every teacher. As Ms. Hogue said, we have co-teachers in the classroom. We have a wonderful Office of Student Services, our special education department, who works with us, thanks to Ms. Desiree Phillips and others. And we have been able to develop a support class. And so our class sizes are actually relatively smaller than they were before we started the Level Up initiative.
And do you have some sort of measurement plan or audit in place to know if this is working over time? How will you know if you're succeeding where you want to be succeeding?
Certainly, we have some state mandates and the tests that we can take a look at. But also, we have experiences and surveys and other information that we've been looking at preliminarily so far with our students and our staff. We have common assessments across our classes, so we can look at the range of assessments that students are taking either in one semester or one school year and look at those historically. And also just the way in which our school operates and moves socially and where kids see themselves and graduate and what they go and get into, I think are all measurements that will feed into the success of the Level Up program.
So I want to stay with that for a second. In March, two school committee members called for an outside audit to make sure the changes were working, but they didn't get majority support. Wouldn't it make sense to have an outside audit of something that's this big a change?
Well,
go ahead, Jennifer.
It doesn't make sense in the second year of implementation. We've actually done an internal audit, which we I'm not sure if it's been presented to the school committee or it shall soon be. But we use some tools to audit our own work, and I think left feeling very positive about the experience that we're right on track with what we want to be doing. I think in a couple of years, when we see if these kids are taking more high-level classes, if we've got more diverse groups of kids taking AP classes, for instance, we're going to really feel like we've hit the mark.
And Damon, having a more diverse group of young people take AP classes, that's part of the end game, right?
Yes.
Isn't there research that shows that students who take at least one AP class have better longevity for higher education?
Certainly, and that's part of the goal, yes. We want to offer more opportunities for kids to say, this is for me. And it starts at ninth grade when they first step in by saying, you can do challenging work.
So what's the long vision here? All classes are done this way?
The long vision is that students see themselves differently as learners and can excel to their passions and move, you know, in any kind of direction that they want to, and not feel that we've placed artificial limits on them about their potential and progress, which we've said by saying, choose this college prep or choose this honors level course.
And Jennifer, very briefly, what are you most proud of?
Oh, my students at the end of the year and the communities, the joyful community of learners that was created at the end of the year.
That's Jennifer Hogue, English teacher at Cambridge Ridge and Latin. Jennifer, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And also Damon Smith, principal of Cambridge Ridge and Latin School. Damon, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, stay with us. There's more coming up. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.